This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series this month, glory to God. Well, it's going to probably go further than a month. And it's what I call the Fruit of the Spirit series. And, you know, we God gives us gifts of the Spirit, and I should preach on that sometime, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And but also there's fruit of the Spirit, and the gifts are given by God, but the fruit, you have to mature into walking in the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit comes by being mature in Jesus Christ. How many mature Christians do I have out here today? Amen. Good. We got half of you that are mature. The rest of you are babies. Amen. And glory to God. And so we are all maturing. Say, I'm maturing. We are maturing. So in other words, we should be growing in our walk in Christ. In other words, the problems that we had last week, we shouldn't be dealing with the same problems this week. Amen. In other words, we should be getting better. Look at your neighbor and say, get better. Amen. We got to be getting better. Amen. And I love that. So the fruit of the Spirit, you really could say it's the character of God. So we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and it's really the characteristics of God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the devil. How many people want to be more like the devil? Nobody wants to be like the devil. I want to be more like God. How many people want to be more like God in here? And we're all growing in our walk, and we're becoming, hopefully you're becoming more God-like. In other words, you're becoming more Christ-like in your walk. Amen? In other words, you're getting better and not bitter. How many people are getting better and not bitter? Amen? And I love this because we want to take on the characteristics of God. And this is what the Fruit of the Spirit series is walking in God character. And I'm going to say this, that we all need to walk in more of God's character. Can I get an amen here? And I love this in Ephesians, in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So we want to imitate God. Walk in love, also as Christ also loved us, and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I love that. So when you put on God, it's like, ladies, it's like you putting on perfume. Men, when you put on God, it's like you putting on some cologne. Amen? In other words, you will smell sweet to the Father. And so I don't know about you, but I want to have God in my life. I want to put on the nature of God. And really, the fruit of the Spirit is the nature of God. You can say, what is God's nature? What is God like? Just study the fruit of the Spirit. That is what God is like. And so in Galatians 5, 22, 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferings, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. I love that. So when we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we are actually fulfilling the law of God. And so when we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, it says there is no law. In other words, there is two laws working. The law of life in Christ Jesus, this is in Romans 8, and the law of sin and death. Those are two laws working on this earth. The law of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. And as Christians, you can walk under either law. You have options. But I want to walk under the law of love in Christ Jesus. How many people want to walk under the law of love in Christ Jesus? That's walking in unity with the Father, and that's walking in unity with each other. Amen? Amen. We discovered last week that we battle, we are in a battle every day. And I'm going to say this, that the devil's already defeated. But what you are battling is not just the devil, the evil forces of the dark ages. No, no. What you're battling a lot of times is your flesh. Yeah. What is flesh? Flesh is the unrenewed part of you that need to be renewed. Amen. Amen. flesh is the old way of thinking. You know, the old way of thinking is, I don't get mad, I get even. That's the old way of thinking. I don't get mad, I just get even, right? But that's the old way of thinking. A new way of thinking is, I walk in love and forgiveness. I don't hold or harbor ill will or bitterness towards people. I release them to the Lord. That's a new attitude. And that's not easy when it comes to the flesh, when it comes to the unrenewed part of us. So you're either going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to either walk in the flesh. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And last week we talked about, you know, love is the foundation fruit that bears the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. And I love that. And we found out that love inspires us to be selfless. So love takes the selfishness out of us. We discovered that love compels us to be givers. The flesh wants to take, amen. The flesh wants to take all it can get, amen. But when you're walking in God's love, you want to give, amen. Love motivates us to show, God's love motivates us to show mercy and forgiveness, amen. So we're supposed to be shown mercy and forgiveness, and love prompts us to worship and give thanks to God. Amen. Love, you know, prompts us to worship and give thanks to God. We need to be worshiping God every day. Amen. So today I want to focus on one of the most attractive fruits that we can walk in. I believe this fruit that we walk in it causes us to be attractable to the world. And God wants us to attract the world for Jesus. Do you believe that? You believe that God wants you to be attractable to the world? The world needs to be jealous of what we have. The world needs to get jealous of us. Amen? And I love that. So this fruit it has the power to strengthen us no matter what we're going through or what's coming against us. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever felt tired or weak, felt like that you couldn't make it? Amen. Well, this fruit will strengthen you and help you make it to the very end. It will help you to get the honors that God wants to honor us with. Amen. And this fruit is the fruit of joy. Joy. If you take the word joy, Jesus, others, you. Amen. So joy is focused on Jesus first, and then focus on others, and then focus on ourselves last. Remember what Jesus said? The last shall be first. Amen. Amen. So when you start focusing on God first and foremost, on others, but what the devil wants us to do is focus on ourselves first. Amen. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? No, it's not about you. It's about the Lord and it's about others. And when it becomes about the Lord, about others, then God takes care of you. Amen. Do you believe that today? And so that's what we got to get out. We got to get out of selfishness. Amen. And we got to get into God. Amen. And so joy is a supernatural fruit that will strengthen you. And will help you to bear up under anything that comes your way. When you're walking in the joy of the Lord, Jesus others you, or you could say Jesus over you. Amen. Is that a good one too? Jesus over you. Amen. Or another one, Jesus on you. Amen. And when you're walking in the joy of the Lord, you'll be able to bear up under the hardest circumstances in your lives. Amen. 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 I like what it says in Nehemiah 8:10. This is powerful. It says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send the portions of those who have nothing to prepare, for this day is a holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was, you know, reading the law to the Israelites right before that, that he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Israelites got in a place where they felt sorry for themselves when Nehemiah was reading the word, and they felt like they weren't measuring up to God. And so Nehemiah was encouraging them, and he said, listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And so when we focus on God, not focusing on what we can't do or what we missed last week or maybe the sin that we dealt with last week, don't focus on your sin, focus on the Son. See, the devil wants you to focus on your shortcomings. He wants you to focus on what you're not doing, but why don't you focus on what you are doing? You're in church this morning. Amen. You're trying to get better. How many people are trying to get better out here instead of bitter? Amen. We want to get better and not bitter. We want to have God in our lives. And I love this. And the fact is, he's saying the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we're serving God, it makes God joyful. Amen. And when God is joyful over us serving him, he will strengthen us. Has anybody ever felt weak out here, tired, burned out? Well, God can strengthen you. Do you believe that today? So I love that. So joy begins really with a thankful heart. I'm going to say again, joy begins with a thankful heart. There's so many things we can look at and be unthankful over. But I don't want you to focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. And if you have Jesus, you have everything. Amen. And so you need to focus on what Jesus did for you. Amen. I like what it says in Philippians. This is powerful. And it says in Philippians 1, 3 and 6, it says, I thank my God in every remembrance of you. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, I thank my God in every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. That's powerful. So I love this because Paul was in a place in his life where it wasn't too comfortable. Paul was in prison. When he wrote this letter, he was sitting in prison, probably between two guards. Amen. And the blessing, even though he was in prison, the prison didn't get in him. And the blessing was they allowed him to write letters in prison. You know, you have people that write letters to convicts. But he's the convict writing letters to people. That's powerful. Of encouragement. See, you might be in a prison today. You might be dealing with some issues today. But if you start giving God some praise, some worship, you will come out of your prison. You will start walking out of your prison into the palace of blessings that God has for you. So I'm going to encourage you. Start worshiping God. Thanking him and giving him remembrance. Amen. And when you do that, remember every good thing he has deposited in you. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. And he had an attitude of gratitude even while he was in prison. Amen. And we have to have that attitude of gratitude if we're going to receive more from God. Keys in maintaining the joy is to be thankful no matter where you find yourself at. I'm going to say again, a key to maintaining the joy of God in your life is to be thankful no matter where you find yourself at. Somebody say, I'm thankful that I'm at Exceed Life Church. Amen. Don't be unthankful, glory to God. Be thankful that you're here, glory to God. Don't be thinking, man, I could be at home sleeping in. Glory to God. No, you're here. Glory to God. And God has something good to deposit on the inside of each one of you. Do you believe that today? God is depositing good things on the inside of each one of you. Amen? Paul was operating not just in joy, but happiness. But there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is an external circumstance based on what's going on at the moment. Anybody can be happy when something good happens to them. But joy is something different. It's based on what Jesus has already done for us. So when we're walking in the joy of the Lord, we're thinking about what he did for us, that he went to the cross, he paid the price for our sins, and that we have forgiveness of sins, we have the gift of righteousness, and that we can reign like kings on this earth. Somebody say, I'm reigning like a king. Amen. I love that. And so Paul, sometimes you have to look at the bad before you see the good. Sometimes you're going to have to look at the bad before you can see the good. Amen. And I love that. And Paul, he talked about some of the bad things he went through in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 27. He said, Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure, talking about being whipped. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and that's not recreationally. I was shipwrecked at night and a day. I have been in deep in journeys, perils, waters, robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils in the Gentiles, perils of the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness and hunger. I thought it was supposed to be good when you got Jesus in your life. This man is encountering all kinds of problems. I thought it was supposed to get easier when you get Jesus. Can I give you a clue? Sometimes it doesn't get easier when you get Jesus in your life. Sometimes that turns up the devil to try to put persecution on your life. I get some people that come to church and get excited. They're excited. They're in church. They say, Pastor, I'm going to be here until Jesus comes back. And then the devil starts working on them. And it's not more than a second or third week, they never come back. Why? Because the devil starts working on them. They say, it's too hot in the kitchen. And they don't come back. Amen? But some of you, God's not raising up wimps in Exceed Life Church. He's raising up warriors. I had to say it like a warrior. Warriors! Glory to God. So he's not raising up wimps in here. And so if you can't deal with a little oppression, if you can't deal with a little heat, a little fire, then we're not worth our salt. But I'm going to say this, you can deal with it because greater is he. Somebody say, greater is he. Jesus that is in me than he that is in the world. You like the way I say that? The world. Glory, I get a little preach there, amen? And I love this because, Paul dealt with issues. And just because you're dealing with some issues doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Just because you're dealing with some issues, it might mean that you are in the will of God. Can I get a witness in the house today? It might mean you're trying to do something and the devil's turning up the heat a little bit. The devil's trying to do something in your life to get you to back off of God. Somebody say, I'm not backing off. I'm pressing in. Glory to God. And you're pressing into the things of God. I'm not looking at wimps out here. I'm looking at warriors. Amen. I'm raising up warriors in the end time. Glory to God. And I love this because Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, do not lose heart. Think about that. He's telling us, don't lose heart. Just because you're encountering some problems, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep pressing in. He says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though your outward man is perishing, yet your inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I love that when he says our light affliction.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. It's a light affliction. Amen. It's light afflictions compared to what you could be going through if Jesus wasn't in your boat.
Amen.
Amen. Because if Jesus is in your boat, you got some hope. And if you got some hope, that's better than dope.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's hot off the wire. Amen. That's better. Hope is better than dope. Glory to God. Because hope is an earnest expectation. I'm about ready to get out of my chair today. Hope is an earnest expectation of good to come.
Yes. Amen.
Do you believe that there could be some better days ahead?
Amen.
You better start believing that God has better days ahead for you because you're learning to be a warrior in the deserts of life.
Amen.
And warriors don't run backwards. They run forward.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I love that. And he says here, a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, which we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that the eternal things or the heavenly things, the Word of God is eternal. And the Word of God will cause us to rise up above every weakness that we may be encountering in our lives. You believe that today? The Word of God is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword, able to cause you to withstand every blow of the enemy. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
And I like what it says in Romans 8:18. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
See, some of us might be going through some fire. Some of us might be going through a hard time. But the fires of life will bring out the purity of our faith. And we allow the fires of life to hit our life. It will cause us to get on our knees and hopefully get closer to God when the fire gets close to us. And then we get on fire for God. Amen. So happiness is based on circumstances. Some of us were trying to get happy. But joy is based on the knowledge of Jesus, what he's done for us, and our inheritance in Christ.
Amen.
And when we start realizing what Jesus has done for us, we're going to get joyful in him. So we need to come out of our issues. You know, the way to come out of our issues are two ways, supernatural and natural. Some of you might be dealing with some issues in here, but God can get you out of your issues. Amen?
Amen.
God can supernaturally intervene and change your life. And that depends on how we respond to him. And if we respond in a proper way, God's going to bring us out on top every time. Do you believe that today? God will allow us to go through the processes of circumstances in life so that he can reveal himself to us. Amen? God can deliver you from any circumstance and situation you're dealing with. He is the delivering God. So no matter what you're dealing with in this life, it has a time span and it's subject to change. Do you believe that today? And if it's a bad situation, it's subject to change.
Yes.
I love that. I love what it says in Philippians 4, 1 through 13. It says, that now I speak in regard to need, for I have learned to whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Paul is saying here, I'm getting out of my seat now. Paul is saying here that he's experienced God in the good times. And he's experienced God in the lean times. And no matter if it's a lean time in your life or if it's a bountiful time in your life, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That means that you can hold up under anything that the devil will try to throw against you.
Amen.
Say, God's holding me up.
God is holding me up.
See, you think you're holding yourself up, but God is holding you up, glory to God. You got to believe that. Say, I believe that. I love the Serenity Prayer. Anybody ever read the Serenity Prayer in here? And I love it. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I love that. And so God, you know, grant me, you know, so I can accept what I can't change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. There are some things that we can't change. Amen. You can't change the family you grew up in. Amen. You can't change, hopefully, if you're married, you're not going to be changing out your spouse, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so there's some things you can't change, but the things you can, God will give you the power to change it. Amen. And God will give you wisdom on how to change it. So we have a choice how we respond to bad days in our lives, and we can make the right choices on how we respond. We can blame God or others for our bad days, or we can be thankful that this shall come to this shall pass also. So whatever you're dealing with has a time limit, and it's subject to change. Do you believe that today? Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm gonna respond in a positive way, no matter what the devil might be throwing at us. Now, I love this scripture here. It's in Deuteronomy. It's a powerful scripture, and it's a scripture about choice. And, you know, this life is about choice. You had a choice to come to church or to stay home and sleep in. But you chose God this morning. I'm so thankful for that. Hallelujah. And you chose, regardless of how you're, some of you may not have felt like coming to church, but you pressed through anyhow. And for those that press in anyhow, there is a blessing on the end of that. Amen. Do you believe that today? And I love what it says in Deuteronomy. It says, I call heaven and earth, Deuteronomy 19 through 20. I call heaven and earth to witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life. Say, God is my life. And the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Amen? So I love that. So really, God is saying, I'm giving you a choice today. You can choose life or death, blessing or curse. You choose. And every time we choose to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. We're saying God is in charge. He's enlarged and he's in our lives. And we're not going back. Some of you need to burn the ships. Glory to God. Amen. You need, you know, that's what they would do when they come to people that came to conquer a city, they would come in their ships, and then they would burn the ships because there was no retreat. And I'm not looking at people that retreat in here. I'm not looking at people that's running when every adversity comes their way, that's running away from it. No, you're running towards your giants. You're not running away from your giants. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love what it says in Philippians 1, 10 and 11. It says that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise to God. So we want to approve all things that are excellent. We should be sincere without offense to the day of Christ, glory to God. And we're filled with his fruits of righteousness. Amen. We need to be aware of that every day we're going to encounter problems. There's going to be circumstances that we're going to deal with. There's going to be thorns in this life to deal with, but God will be with us when we deal with them. Do you believe that today? I like what it says in John 16:33. It says, these things, this is Jesus speaking, this is in red. Jesus says this, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. See, in Jesus you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Amen. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I love that. So Jesus is saying, in me you're going to have peace as long as you stay in him. I'm going to say again, as long as you stay in him. You're saying, what do you mean, Pastor, stay in him? Stay focused on his word. Stay focused in prayer. Stay focused in praise. Keep your mind stayed on him, and he will keep you in perfect peace. Amen. But what the enemy's trying to do is get you to get your mind focused on something else. Yes. Don't focus on other things. Focus on Jesus. That's what the problem with Peter when he was walking on the water towards Jesus that day. When he walked on the water, the wind started blowing hard. The waves started brushing up against him. And he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the waves, focused on the storms, and he began to sink. Yeah. Amen. So listen, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will always be able to walk on the waters, on the turbulent waters of this life. You believe that today? And in Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those that love God and called according to his purposes. No matter what you're going through, God's going to work it out for good. That means you can have some joy in your life. Because whatever you're dealing with, it's subject to change. It has a time frame on it. You're not going to be dealing with it all your life. It's subject to change. And you're coming in to a good place. And God, I'm confessing it over you today. Do you believe it today? Amen. So if you're going to walk in the joy of the Lord, joy, Jesus on you. If you're going to walk in the joy of the Lord, you got to keep your joy refocused on what really matters. What really matters. What matters is that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven, that you have God in your life. That really matters. Amen? I love that. I love what it says in Philippians 1, 15 through 18. This is Paul. His some indeed preach Christ Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ for selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only in this every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, I will rejoice. So Paul was saying there were some people that were preaching for themselves. And there were some people that were preaching for Christ. And Paul was saying, I'm excited that just Christ is being preached. It doesn't matter how he's being preached as long as he's being preached. Amen? And he's saying, as Christ is being preached, he says he rejoices in the fact that people are getting some knowledge of Jesus and coming out of sin and coming into the Son. Amen. And so I'm telling you, Christ needs to be preached, and you need to be preaching Christ wherever you go. I like what it says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So if you get a negative doctor's report, amen, this is a great scripture here, especially if it's a death sentence doctor report. Because in this, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, it's better to be with Christ than to be down here. How many people ready to go? How many people ready to go? Amen? I'm ready to get close to God. Amen? I love that. Number two, joy is something that God can restore. Maybe you're dealing with some sadness in your life. Maybe you're dealing with some issues in your life that's causing you to be sad. God can restore your joy. See, I'm going to say this. What destroys joy in our life is sin. I'm going to say it again. What destroys joy in our life is sin. And in Psalms 51, this is where David repented of his relationship with Bathsheba and what he did to Uriah. And he repented. And he said to the Lord in 51:12, restore to me the joy of my salvation, of your salvation, and uphold me with a generous spirit. Think about that. So David lost his joy. And sin will always cause you to lose your joy. Doing the wrong things will always cause you to lose your joy. But when you're walking upright before God, it should bring the joy of the Lord in your life. Number three, joy is found in God's presence. Joy is found in God's presence. We have to do everything we can to get into God's presence. Amen. Get a worship song going. Play some worship music, glory to God. I like what it says in Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love that. So joy is found in God's presence. You find God, you'll find joy. Do you believe that today? You find the devil, you'll find sadness. Amen? So joy is found in God's presence. Number four, joy is a result of righteousness. That's powerful. It says here in Psalms 97:11, light shines on the godly and joy on those whose hearts are right. Amen. So when we're walking right with God and right with people, we're not doing people wrong, then we have the confidence of God in our life, and that should bring a righteous blessing into our lives. Amen. I love what it says in Psalms 45:7. It says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Somebody say, I love God. I love righteousness. I hate sin. Amen. And we want to love righteousness and we want to hate sin. Amen. We don't want to have anything to do with sin. Amen. I love that. Number five, joy is found in delighting in God's word. Amen. I'm telling you, if some of you are not walking in the joy of the Lord because you're not in the word enough. Amen. Some of you might need to get in the word a little bit more because God's word is amazing and it should bring joy to you. Amen. Because when I'm reading the scriptures, sometimes a word or a phrase that I'm reading will pop out and will really minister to me. And I can feed on a scripture for days. Amen. Has anybody ever fed on a scripture for days? And I can feed on just one scripture and for days. Amen. I'm going to give you that scripture today. Amen. One that I found this week. I know you're excited about it. Amen. And Psalms 119, 111, it says, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. That's God's word. His statutes is his word. It's our heritage forever. It's the joy of our heart. When we find promises of God in his word, it should bring joy to our hearts. The scripture that I found this week, I love it. It says Psalm 68:19. I was telling my mom about it this week. She said, where is that found at? My mom's a word lady. Amen. I says in Psalm 68:19. She said, what does that say? Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with... You guys aren't getting as excited as I got when I read this. You guys are like, daily, God, notice this. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. I like what it says in the Amplified. Blessed be the Lord who bears our burdens, carries us day by day, even the God who is our salvation, Selah. And so I love that. So the Lord carries our burdens, another translation, and he carries us day by day. Amen? I love that. We got to get excited about that. We got to get excited about it. Number six, joy is a result of speaking with wisdom. Joy is a result of speaking with wisdom. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Amen. I love that. So I'm going to say this, that joy comes by us speaking wisdom out of our mouths. Amen. I love that. And so God will give you the power to speak wisdom out of your mouth. Even though some of us aren't that wise at times, God can help us to speak wisdom out of our mouths. You might not be the sharpest tool in the barn, glory to God, but God can sharpen your tool, your tongue, amen? And he can help you say the right things at the right time in the right way, amen? Do you believe that today? Joy is produced by righteous hope. Amen. Joy is produced by, what does that mean? That you're believing good things are going to happen even though bad things might be happening right now.
Amen.
You must believe, you know, that goodness is going to come regardless of what it looks like or what you're dealing with in your life.
Amen.
You got to believe that. Hope is an earnest expectation of good to come. I love that. And so Jesus, you know, he had a focus. He couldn't focus. You know, Jesus was, you know, he lived down here. He preached the gospel. He healed people. He delivered people. He raised the dead. And then he had to go to the cross. And how was Jesus able to encounter going to the cross? How did he keep his joy? He looked beyond the cross.
Amen.
And he looked beyond the cross and he saw us.
Amen.
That's how he was able to keep the joy. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy is also found in answered prayer. Anybody in here ever prayed and God answered it?
Amen.
I got some people raising their hands. The rest of you, like, still waiting. You're still waiting on God to answer your prayer. Amen. But it's wonderful when we pray and God answers our prayer. My mom prayed a prayer and it was a 10-year prayer. 10 years. It took 10 years for God to answer. And some of you are saying, 10 years? That's a long time, Pastor. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So don't give up just because you're not seeing your prayers answered right away. Don't throw in the towel just because you're not seeing that breakthrough. Just wait on the Lord and you will eventually see it. It will happen. Say, I believe that. And my mom prayed for us heathens. And we were little heathens. Amen. And God, and my mom prayed for me and my other brothers, and we were partiers. You heard of the Hardy Boys, the Party Boys. Amen. Hardy Boys, that's some of you, I'm dating myself. You guys probably never heard of the Hardy Boys. Amen. Nancy Drew Mysteries and the Hardy Boys. Amen. It's a book collection that you can read. Amen. And so, but God got a hold of us. And I'm telling you, my whole family got saved all in 1 year. Is that amazing? And we were running with the devil. And we were running and partying with the devil. And God got a hold of each one of us. And in 1 year, everybody got saved. I remember that year because that Christmas, my mom gave a Bible to each one of us with our names engraved in it. Glory to God. She was cementing it. They got God in their life, and they're going to keep God in their life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm giving them a Bible, and they're going to stay in God. Hallelujah. I prayed for 10 years. Hallelujah. And they finally come to salvation, and I'm not going to let it go. Amen. And she gave a Bible with our names engraved on the Bible. It's wonderful to get a Bible with your name engraved in it. That means your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not really, but... The only way that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you receive Jesus. Amen. So joy is found in answered prayer. And my mom's prayer was answered, even though it may take a long time. God, somebody say, God's working on it. Even though you might be praying some prayers and haven't seen them answered, God is working on it. Do you believe that today? Say, God's working on it. Sometimes, you know, the bigger the prayer request, the longer it takes. Like some of you, Lord, make me a millionaire. It might take a while. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the bigger the prayer, the longer it takes. But when it comes, joy comes in the morning. Amen. So as we focus on God, as we focus our lives on Him, as we joy Jesus on you, as you focus on Jesus, as you focus on others, and then you put yourselves last, God will put you first.
Amen.
Do you believe that today? The last shall be first.
Amen.
As we focus on trying to do everything we can to walk upright before God, to keep His word before us, to keep praising and worshiping Him, we're going to walk in the joy of the Lord, and that joy will strengthen us and help us to overcome every adversity that the devil throws at us. Do you believe that today? Somebody say, I'm walking in the joy of the Lord. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness, and I thank you for the fruit of joy. And I thank you, Lord God, that that joy undergirds us to be able to handle any storm that's thrown at us. And I thank you that we can overcome every storm in our life because you are with us. Jesus, you're in our boat, and our boat cannot capsize with you in it. And I thank you, Father God, for the precious people here listening, those that are watching, and perhaps you've never made the decision to get Jesus in your boat of life. Well, today is the day of salvation. You can receive Jesus today as you're listening and watching. Why don't you confess this simple prayer and bring Jesus in the boat of your life so that He can raise you up and make you the person He's called you to be. Say this and mean it out loud. Say it and say it out loud. Say this. Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your joy today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.